Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. Some are calling it Trump Day. It is the middle of the week, and you know what that means. We got a thing we do we call the Grand Council, where I bring in two of my brethren that do talk radio elsewhere. Been doing it longer than me, actually, and we ping each other with questions and just see where the chips fall. Got a little change in the lineup today, so I will just call the roll real quickly. From 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting out of Huntsville, host of the Yaffe program, and also writes for Yellowhammer News. Yaffe, are you present?
I am here.
You are indeed. Thank you for subbing in, my friend. I appreciate it. All right.
Sure.
Also, looking southward towards Mobile, host of the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 and the editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Jeff Poor, are you present?
I am present.
You are indeed. Glad of it. All right. I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man.
Assemble the Grand Council.
Ba-da! All right. I don't know about y'all, but I am fueled up on caffeine today. Just real quick, not a serious question for the actual council, but did you guys stay up and watch the results come in until it was done? Jeff, what about you? Did you?
3 a.m.
3 a.m., bro. What about you, Yaff?
Yeah, I don't know if it was quite 3 a.m., but I tried to go to bed, and then I was like, nope, I got to stay up. So I basically was up.
You couldn't do it. We're political junkies. All right, first round, yeah. First real question. Jeff Poor, pray tell, what do you have for us?
What, if anything, could a Kamala Harris have done differently? Was this just destiny?
That's a loaded question. What could she have done differently? She could not have run. I don't know. She's a flawed candidate, and she came in on the heels of a very flawed presidency over which she had been the vice president. I don't know what else she could have done, except I'll say this. Picking a different vice presidential running mate. I think that one of the worst things she did for her race was pick Tim Walz. She could have had Josh Shapiro, and that might have been a game changer for Pennsylvania, which could have been a game changer for everything. So I can't help but think that that's the big one, my thoughts. But what do you think, Yaff?
I think she probably could have either admitted some of the mistakes of the Biden administration.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Or at least talked about what she would do differently. Every time, I mean, she would try to portray herself as the change candidate, but no one could really define what that meant, and she wouldn't define what that meant because she tried to say that while also saying she's experienced because she was Biden's VP and they did a lot of good stuff. So I think it might have been a little more effective if she could have at least said, look, I'm going to change it this way and this way.
Well, that requires self-reflection and humility, and I didn't see any of that in her, so I don't know if that could
have. Yeah, that's for real, yeah.
All right, well, your own question then, Jeff. What would you think she would have done differently?
I mean, yeah, obviously there's much to be desired from her candidacy. I just think she never was fully engaged, but, like, I ask that question only to say this. I think she just put it in a hard spot, and I kind of feel – I shouldn't, but I feel bad for her because, this was not a winnable race for her, and the people that did this, that took Biden off the ticket and didn't just take the L, did it to her, and she's, like I said, what is she brought on herself? She's never going to get a fair shot at the presidency.
I think her career's in the tank, too. I mean, I think that's one of the things.
Yeah, I think it's over.
I think she's done with politics. The best she can hope for is for Whoopi Goldberg to resign from The View, and they give her the slot.
She's a former vice president. She'll make money in the speaking circuit. I mean, she's going to be a wealthy woman coming out of this. But you never got a real true shot at being president of the United States. And a lot of that's because of the way you handled it.
It's the way her power brokers and her party handled it. I mean, they boned this thing in a big way. It's been awful from day one. The way they handled Biden. I mean, I'll go back on something you just said, Jeff. Here's the caveat. Had they looked at Joe Biden back in the day and said, Joe, you're not going to run for a second term, and he had decided not to run and said, Kamala Harris, she would have had all the time to run. She would have had the time to prove herself, and it would have looked far more complete. But they didn't do that. They had to try and keep the illusion going until they couldn't keep the illusion going, and I think that was the downfall. Anyway, all right, I'll tell you what. Yaffe Young, a pitch to you. Next question, what do you got?
Can the Republican Party ride Trump's coattails in the next election? Is this about Trump, or is this about the Republican Party, this victory?
Wow. All right, we're already looking forward to 2028. I don't want to look forward to 2028. I want to be done for a while. No, I mean, geez. It's a yes and a yes. So I do believe that what Trump does with this in the first 2 years is going to be indicative of whether it was just Trump or whether we're going to see a reshaping of the Republican political landscape. Because if he puts himself if he puts the team in that it looks like he could put in, if he brings in people who are true reformers and willing to actually work and buck the system, and the change that the grassroots voted for him to pursue is actually pursued successfully, especially, I think then we're seeing that it's a new Republican day. If we wind up seeing more of the kind of McConnell in the background sabotage, and the Republicans don't really get the job done, and they're allowed to do more like John McCain thumbs down kind of stuff, then I think at that point, it was proven that the Republicans weren't really on board all the way. Jeff, chime in.
Yeah, I'm looking at 26. Remember what happened at 18, Senator? The every Republican in Alabama in that midterm was running who could be the Trumpiest. Remember the one that always sticks out in my head is the Twinkle Kavanaugh ad, which he's running for lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And it was like her and Trump separated at birth. It was like brother, sister. It was weird, right? I don't think that works. I think 26 is a Republican bloodbath. The map in the Senate is going to be very Democrat. And just based on historic precedent, there's going to be a backlash. Democrats ought to do well in 26. So for that reason, and I assume we're talking about 26, but even 28 by some extension, I don't think running on Trump would be the way to winning an election. Just it's going to be the cycle, and it's just a product of what we got to deal with then.
All right, it's your own question, Yaffe. What are you thinking?
I think a lot of it actually depends on what the Democrat Party does. If the Democrat Party decides to learn their lesson and moderate, then Republicans will be in trouble without Trump. But if the Democrat Party just decides to go even further to the left, all the Republican Party has to do, all the Republican Party has to do in response is just not be the radical left. So that would be my current take. But I do think they would have a little bit of trouble. There's sort of a celebrity factor with Trump that turns out the vote in presidential elections.
Yeah.
And I don't know what would happen in the next presidential election. It would take maybe a J.D. Vance or something being a part of Trump to do that.
Well, more to come on that one. I'll tell you what, with just about 2 or 3 minutes left, let me jump in there with one question. I'm gonna try to make it kind of an easy one here because we got time. But so Trump takes office, and I think everybody agrees he has to get busy. He has to get busy pretty quick. And some of the things that are going to be needed to make the agenda work have to happen within the first 2 years because of that midterm coming up. So what's the first executive order? What's the very first executive order? And I'm not talking about congressional action and everything. I'd say what's the first executive order that you perceive like being on the desk waiting for him when he takes office? Jeff?
I think the border.
Yep.
I think, that's the easiest. You can close the border and say, we're closing the border until we figure this out. It may take a few days, a week, or whatever, but you got to revamp the border policy, and I think you just kind of start anew.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think it's a border executive order. I think he comes in and repudiates a lot of what's happened. I think he mandates that Remain in Mexico is put back in place, and I think he picks up the phone and calls the president of Mexico and says, guess what's about to happen? Yaffe, you weigh in. What do you think? First executive order.
I actually think it might be opening up more energy exploration, only because that's what he said. You know, the left took him out of context when he said he would be a dictator on day one. But he was saying, no, I'd be a dictator for one day, and that would be to drill, baby, drill. So he said, close the door and drill, close the border and drill, baby, drill. So I could see an executive order on that.
Okay. Well, and you know what? I'm not going to be surprised. Suddenly, the Keystone Pipeline is back on, and oil industry jobs are looking cool. All right. Round one of the alternate lineup for the Grand Council. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'm with Yaffe and with Jeff Poore and just little old me. You guys stay tuned. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades today. Let me go right back to the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Yaffe sitting in for Dale Jackson today. So, Jeff Rowe Poore, first question, second round. What do you got?
In 2016, about this time, there was a little bit of introspection, but by Monday, it was Russia collusion narrative. When we talk about introspection and this time around, how long does this last? Do things really change, or is it just let's rationalize this some other way?
What are you asking? Are you saying that it's going to be like the big
another
attack?
Another Russia
mode?
Collusion, or is it, yeah, hey, is the Democratic Party going to learn from this?
No, I don't think they're going to learn from it. In fact, it's kind of like this is almost like the question I was going to ask in a minute, too, is what should we watch out for? What is the thing that they're going to do to try and, you know, lay a few landmines in the path, if you will? And I really think that what we have to watch out for, number one, I think we have to watch out for Trump's personal safety. I really do right now. I think that's a given, but at the same time, it's more urgent than ever. And then I think the other thing we really have to do, though, is we have to watch out for the deep state that's going to start putting bureaucratic landmines in place to try and make sure that he can't get the things done that he wants to get done. I'm not sure I can put my finger on what that is, but I really think what they're going to do is they're going to try and stage things so that he has a harder time untying the Gordian knot. That's why he's going to have to come in with a sword and just cut that bad boy. Yaffe?
Yeah, and by the way, if you hear noise in the background, that's my little girl. I got home, and my wife's like, oh, I have choir practice, so you got to babysit. So I'm doing Grand Council while babysitting.
Well, that's awesome.
Okay.
That is awesome.
but I don't think they're going to learn. And I think this is true of the Democratic Party, and I think it's true of the mainstream media. Because what I think we're going to hear for 4 years is that the country's racist. That's why this happened. We're racist, we're sexist, and we actually need more DEI because this is proof of the systemic racism that still exists in our country. That's what I think we're going to hear, and it's going to be exhausting and annoying, and they'll lose elections because of it, but that's what I think, at least from the mainstream media, that's what we'll hear.
Jeff, your own question. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm interested you say that, Yaffe, because Joey Clark and I are talking about that in the media today, and will they learn their lesson and will they change their ways? I think the marketplace is going to tell them that this doesn't work anymore. This is the Joe Rogan election, right? You're not going to be able to force the DEI stuff down our throat because people, when you start doing that, people will just tune you out and they'll go elsewhere. And, I guess the question, I don't know the answer to this, is if it's a matter of survival, they'll have to do the introspection and change their ways. And if they don't, they'll just be a footnote in history.
All right. Well, but caveat off that, who's the common sense leader in the Democrat Party that's going to lead that charge for self-reflection? Who is it?
I mean, just a leader in the Democratic Party at all. Yeah, Senator is a good question, right? Like who is it?
Exactly.
Who's the new leader? And I think it's got to be one of these governors from one of these swing states, one of these purple state governors that have a D next to their name. It's not going to be Nancy Pelosi. It's not going to be Hakeem Jeffries or Chuck Schumer or anybody like that. They got to do what Clinton was able to do in '92. And either that or just facing more election losses.
No, I agree. I mean, I think it's going to have to be, and that's the only people I can think of, is the ones that are not in D.C. right now but have standing in the party. It's going to be like a Josh Shapiro again or somebody of that you know, that sort of that stripe. I cannot imagine that we're going to ever see Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, or any of the hacks like Bernie Sanders and AOC and some of the others ever try to moderate who they are. That's off brand. I don't think we're going to ever see, you know, some of those knuckleheads ever change their ilk. But I do believe that there's a possibility of someone rising and bringing a call, a clarion call, to some measure of correctness. But even that's going to be a fight. It's going to be a knuckle dragger. Whose turn was it? Was that Yaffe's question? Was that my? Did I ask a question?
It was Jeff's question.
Wow. Okay. I think I just spun right off of Jeff's question, so I'll go ahead and throw it to you, Yaffe.
All right. Well, I mean, we're talking about leadership. Who's going to be the Republican majority leader in the Senate? Well, first, who do you think it will be, and who do you want it to be?
Jeff, you go first.
I think just because Republicans had such a good election in the Senate, I don't think it's going to be like a John Cornyn or then Rick Scott's got a shot all of a sudden. Yeah. I think he's a name to watch. But I think beyond that is just kind of silly to think it's going to be anybody really that's not at least able to raise money for the cause. Like I said, they got a tough map at 26. So whoever can promise the most goodies to keep these people in office is going to win that spot.
Yeah, I'm thinking right now. I'm going to throw out three names, one of which you already mentioned. I mean, I'm not for Thune. I'm not for another McConnell handpick. But I do think that either Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, or Marco Rubio could be a Senate leader that people could get behind. We'll see. I mean, I don't know. I think Rubio is super sharp. Although, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be interesting to see who goes in the cabinet. And if he takes a senator, it's going to have to be somebody from a conservative state so a conservative governor can reappoint their replacement. But I could see leadership come from Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, or Rubio. Your own thoughts, though. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm glad you said Rubio because he came to my mind. I tend to think it's either going to be a John Thune or a Rick Scott. I would love to see, though, like a Rubio or a Tim Scott or somebody like that be able to really kind of really take the reins and, like, I don't know, put some energy into the party in the Senate.
Well, we'll see where it goes, fellas. But right now, where it goes is we're out of time. So appreciate both of you. Yaffe, thanks for sitting in for Dale Jackson. Jeff Poor, appreciate you as always, man. And thanks for calling in last night. All said and done, the Grand Council, Jeff Poor, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show, and, oh, by the way, 1819 News. And then our own guy, Yaffe, host of the Yaffe program, 9 to 11, 770 AM, 92.5 FM out of Huntsville, and also writes for Yellowhammer. And just little old me, the Grand Council. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We're into the go-home half hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.